Okay, Mike McConnell got about 10:37.
Got my guest out of order here, and that's what happens when I go off script. Tom Parsons is in a half hour here at bestbears.com, but oh, that sounds nice and summery. I know the name of this song, but can't think of it.
One Ton Tomato.
One Ton Tomato.
Now, Guantanamera. But you could also sing to I Need a One Ton Tomato.
I think I saw, you know who did a version of One Ton Tomato? I want to say Mike Nesmith. That just flashed to mind.
That makes sense.
Where it was, but somehow I saw him on video doing that. So anyway, in Springfield, we're looking at House Bill 2675, which is a sex education bill, and it's being touted as an attempt to reduce teen pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases. And this would, I guess, set a new curriculum or whatever. Not happy with it will be my guest who stands by, Scott Phelps, Executive Director of the Abstinence and Marriage Education Partnership and co-founder of the National Abstinence Education Association in D.C. So it would lead me to believe that he's held this view for some time. Mr. Phelps, good to have you on the program. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. What is the present status of sex education in schools? How would this bill change what's there now?
Well, as I mentioned in my piece, what the bill wants to require is, or will require, is that any school that teaches abstinence until marriage must also teach teens how to use contraception. There's a lot of schools that don't want to do that, and this bill would force them to do that regardless of local community concerns, parental concerns, whatever the school wants to do.
And what percentage of schools do not include sex education or include contraception as part of sex education now?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, there's no monitoring what schools teach what, but we know that we have worked with over 1,200 schools around the state that teach abstinence education. Now, some of those will also include information on how to use contraception. Our programs, make no mistake, do talk about contraception. What we don't do is encourage teens to use it and teach them how to use it.
So many tangents on this. If you're in fact you teach that contraception exists, but you should not use it because you shouldn't be having sex in the first place, is that your take?
We don't tell them they shouldn't use it. We teach them what it is, what it does. The word contraception, contra against, means to prevent conception.
Yeah.
And that contraception is designed to prevent the fertilization of an egg. We teach what contraception is. We don't say, here's how to use it and here's where to get it. Some comprehensive sex education programs actually have assignments, for example, where they will send kids to the local drugstore to do a field report on all the different types and write down, you know, how much they cost and where you get them and what kind they are and how would you buy them if you wanted them, and we don't do things like that.
So if they do that, I guess the idea behind that would be to sort of knock down the barrier of potential embarrassment if a kid goes into a drugstore to buy condoms or whatever.
Absolutely.
I never knew they did that. I don't know that I necessarily see the downside to taking a look at the cost and whatnot of different types of contraception.
Well, here's the big problem that I tried to get to in a very brief space in the Sun-Times op-ed. And it's that what you're really doing is you're codifying the sexual revolution. What the sexual revolution did was to separate sexual activity from a marriage relationship. And when you teach kids that in order to have sex, what you need to do is get yourself some contraception, what you've really done is you've separated sex from a marriage relationship. And when you require that by law that schools teach that, you've codified it. The sexual revolution has been devastating for the American family. And that's well documented. I'm not making that up.
Well, I mean, the majority of people are going to have sex before they get married. Knowing that, what's wrong with teaching them how to not get pregnant? I think that out-of-wedlock pregnancy is a much bigger problem than engaging in sex in the first place.
Yeah, it is. The problem is that contraception isn't going to prevent pregnancy, and it certainly isn't going to prevent sexually transmitted diseases.
Well, if we pulled it all off the market tomorrow, I believe the pregnancy rate would go up.
For
sure. It has to be preventing a certain percentage of pregnancies.
It certainly reduces a person's risk of getting pregnant, for sure. But to teach teens that it will prevent it is misleading. And what the bill further does is the bill requires teachers basically to say what is not true. The bill requires that teachers would teach that contraception will prevent pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. Contraception cannot prevent sexually transmitted diseases. It's not designed to do that. It's designed to prevent fertilization of an egg. It's not designed to prevent disease. So, for example, spermicide, which is a contraceptive, not only does it prevent disease, but according to the CDC, may increase risk of infection of HIV because it irritates the tissue. And so if you're going to mandate that teachers teach that contraception prevents sexually transmitted disease, you're having them go directly against Centers for Disease Control. Centers for Disease Control recommends that schools teach teens to save sexual intercourse for a marriage relationship. That's what the Centers for Disease guidelines are.
Right.
And so when I gave my testimony in Springfield, I said, look, if you're going to go against CDC guidelines, you need to have some data. You need to have some rationale. You need to have some evidence for why you would contradict CDC guidelines. They have nothing to say.
Well, you're telling me that a teacher would stand up there and teach that the pill will actually thwart STDs?
I'm telling you what the bill says. The bill says that it will require that you teach abstinence and contraception for the prevention of pregnancy and STDs.
Well, if, in fact, condoms do, in many instances, stop STDs, to teach them that they don't or that nothing does, it's not foolproof, but certainly that's one reason people use them, and it's also a form of birth control, as we know.
Yeah, condom is one form of contraception. The bill doesn't say condom. The bill says contraception.
But again, I don't believe that a teacher would stand up in front of the class and say that the pill stops STDs the same as a condom does. They would have to be specific as to which types of contraception and how they may thwart the spread of STDs.
Well, first of all, that's not, again, I'm just going by what the bill says, okay? The bill is requiring teachers to teach that contraception will prevent sexually transmitted diseases. Number one, it won't do that. It's not designed to do that. And condom usage has been increasing year over year for the past decade or two, actually. At the same time, STD rates continue to go up. Now, pregnancies for sure are going down. As I pointed out, pregnancies are down largely over the past 20 years by as much as 50% in Illinois.
Yes.
Among teenagers. That's the good news. The bad news is STDs aren't going down. STDs continue to go up. Why? Because contraception doesn't stop STDs.
Well, it doesn't, but they're not teaching that right now anyway, correct?
They're not teaching what?
That contraception stop STDs. This is in the bill that's yet to be passed.
Many schools already do teach that. The bill would require that all schools that teach abstinence also teach that. Many schools that teach abstinence do not teach that.
What does the bill say with regard, and this is where we might find some area of agreement, with regard to when sex education begins and how often it's brought up from grade to grade?
It doesn't. All it says is if a school is going to teach sex ed, this is what it must say. And so their fallback position is, look, if you don't want to teach contraception, don't teach anything about sex. In other words, don't teach abstinence. If you're going to teach abstinence, you have to also teach this. If you don't want to teach this, don't teach anything. That's what the bill says.
Well, you certainly don't want a case where nothing is being taught. And the last thing.
Well, but that's going to be the fallback position because we work with schools all over the state who won't teach that because it's not true. If I was a school teacher and you mandated me to teach something that wasn't true, I'd say I'm not going to teach it. Then you can't teach anything. Okay, then I won't teach anything.
Well, I'm not sure what they're going to teach that's not true. I don't believe that a teacher, again, will stand up there and say that an IUD stops sexually transmitted diseases. They might say that a condom can, that there's no guarantee, but if they're told to teach that, then what's wrong with teaching that?
Well, let me give you what the bill actually says. Here's the wording I found out while we were talking here. It says, to include instruction on both abstinence and contraception for the prevention of pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV/AIDS.
Yes.
So, in other words, if you're going to teach abstinence, you'll have to also teach contraception for the prevention of pregnancy and STDs.
Yes.
It can't do that. It can't prevent it.
A condom can and does.
Can and does what?
Prevent STDs.
Well, like which ones?
Pretty much any that you would contract without a condom. Syphilis,
really?
Gonorrhea. I mean, it's the barrier.
Well,
it's the barrier between the two individuals. That's its
okay.
That's one of its main purposes.
It's one of its main purposes.
Yes.
It's not called a contra disease. It's called a contraceptive. Its purpose is to prevent conception. As an ancillary effect, it may condom only help prevent sexually transmitted diseases. However, the CDC data belies that. The CDC data shows that STD rates continue to climb as condom usage continues to climb. Many condoms already have spermicide on them, and the CDC says that spermicide may increase risk of infection of STDs. So I'm not buying the myth that contraception or condoms prevent STDs. The CDC data doesn't back it up.
Well, you're taking two separate sets of data and saying one is the cause of the other. I mean, there could still be a lot of people engaging in risky sexual behavior and not wearing condoms. It doesn't mean that others who wear condoms are not guarding from STDs.
What am I saying causes what?
Let's say this. Let's say we have people who are beyond their childbearing years, but they're still sexually active with more than one partner. That individual, that guy might choose to wear a condom for the purpose of avoiding sexually transmitted diseases, even though the women he's involved with run no risk of getting pregnant at all. His main purpose for buying it would be to avoid the STD.
Right. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
He understands that he's buying it for the purpose, again, of avoiding STDs. If it doesn't break, if it works according to plan, it works out well for he and his partner.
Human papillomavirus is the leading viral sexually transmitted disease. It's transmitted by skin-to-skin contact, and condoms do virtually nothing to stop it.
You're talking about
predominantly
being spread orally?
No, skin-to-skin contact, so that there are skin lesions that cause infection. Viruses have different points of infection, and HPV is a skin virus.
Well, then from that standpoint, don't rub suntan lotion on someone, but it doesn't have to be sexual, apparently.
No. We're talking, I don't want to get into nitty-gritty, there's lots of different strains of HPV. There are HPV strains that are sexually contracted. All I'm saying is that what you hear is that condoms will prevent STDs. If you look at STD data, what you'll see is a continuing increase in condom usage and a continuing increase in STD rates. I'm not saying it causes it, but what I am saying is this. If condoms do, in fact, prevent STDs, as condom usage increases over the years, you would expect that there would be at least a leveling off, or if not a decrease, in sexually transmitted diseases. It isn't happening. Rather, as condom usage increases, STDs continue to increase. I'm not saying it causes it. I'm saying we're certainly not seeing the supposed benefit that we're constantly told exists.
Well, again, I mean, you have people out there who engage in risky sexual behaviors who can cause the rate of STDs to go up, but among the responsible people who are wearing the condom to avoid it, they will not go up. It doesn't mean they can't go up. I mean, one does not cause the other. These are two separate statistics.
I mean, I'm saying it doesn't cause it. But you're certainly not seeing the benefit of the increased condom usage in the STD rates. But look, all of this misses the larger point, and the larger point is this. In fact, the whole STD argument, this is what my point is, the STD argument is used to argue that we need to teach teens about, you know, how to use condoms and contraceptives. What I'm saying is the bigger problem is what you're doing when you do that is you're teaching teens not to save sex for marriage, but to save sex for condoms.
I just looked up. And
when you
Scott, hold on. I just realized I'm quite late for a break. Give me about the 2 minutes here. We'll carry on. Sit tight. We'll get your web address just ahead as well. It's WGN. Let's not have our get away from me. Talking to Scott Phelps here. He's with the executive director, actually, Abstinence and Marriage Education Partnership. And what is your web address real quick here, Scott, before I run out of time?
Yeah, thanks. ampartnership.org.
ampartnership.org.
Yeah.
again, your organization thinks it's fine to teach the that contraception exists. You don't. You're not in favor of teaching, I guess, how to put a condom on a banana or whatever takes place, correct?
Well, yeah, and listen, lots of schools do that, and we're not even against them doing that. What we're against is the state mandating that all schools do that. Lots of schools do it. We're not saying they can't. If that's what the local community chooses, that's their choice. But what I'm against is the state saying to all communities, if you want to teach kids to wait until marriage, you must also then do this. Why are they doing that?
But isn't the notion of expecting kids to wait until marriage a losing proposition?
Absolutely not. And we have to return to that, because I'm telling you, the non-marital birth rate is at 41%. It's been climbing dramatically. It was from 5% when I was born to 41% today. Most American children soon will be born out of wedlock.
I don't like that either, but that's where the contraception part comes in. Here's how to not, if you're going to have sex, here's not to produce children you can't afford to raise.
No, but see, that message is out there. Kids are inundated with the safe sex message. 98% of sexually active kids, according to the CDC, already use contraception. The message that's missing for our kids is that marriage is good and special and valuable. And schools aren't teaching that anymore. What we're arguing is that schools have an obligation to move heaven and earth to help kids understand why marriage is good, valuable, special, and worth waiting for. Because unless we restore the institution of marriage and family in America, we're in deep trouble.
Well, what's going to happen is they'll say, no, we can't do that. We have a room where a third of the kids don't have a mother and father who are married. We can't teach that that's wrong. That's the brick wall you're going to come up against.
Oh, believe me, I'm against that brick wall every single day. It's what I do for a living. And I'm trying to help those people understand that you're not helping kids, you're harming them by refusing to teach the objective benefits of marriage.
Yeah.
Marriage is a good thing. It's a social good. It's necessarily good. It's objectively good. And we have an obligation to teach that to our kids. Most teens are not having sex. And we should encourage them to continue in that rather than pushing them into contraception. That makes no sense to me.
All right, I have to run, but we'll have a link to your website, which again is ampartnership.org. We'll have that link at wgnradio.com, and we'll see
thanks
what
so
happens.
Much. Mike, thanks for having me on.
We'll see what happens in Springfield. Scott, thank you for your time.